It's 5 through 9. And the people spake against God and against Moses, "Wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread." Oh, there is a sermon there, but I'm not preaching on that text. And the Lord, because they loathed the bread, and the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us." And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, "Make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live." And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. Now there's a lot of directions we can go here. I think I'm going to be taking you a direction you hadn't planned on, but we will experience, or I will explain the teaching behind the passage we've just read. But there's another direction we're going because of a particular statement here that I feel would be beneficial to all of us. Let's go ahead and pray and ask the Lord to prepare our hearts. Father, I pray that you would make us ready to receive your word. I believe that the folks are here because they want to be here. They want to listen. They want to understand. And God, we need you in the midst. In our flesh dwelleth no good thing. The flesh profiteth nothing. I cannot entertain people. I do not have the skill to keep people's attention in and of myself. I need the Holy Spirit's power. God, please fill us with your presence. Remove all distractions. May the light of Christ shine brightly in this room, and may darkness be expelled. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Allow me to give you the practical teaching behind that story. It's a powerful story, and in and of itself, it's a great evangelistic sermon. The people of God have been following Moses for some time now. God has fed them with manna from heaven on a day-to-day basis. And they've come to a point to where they don't like the bread. And they're griping and complaining against Moses and against the Lord once again. After all God has done for them, God has delivered them from bondage, God has gave them water out of a rock, God has given them quail without having to hunt for it or set snares for it. God has given them bread. God has sustained them. And you may not be aware of this. You read your Bible, this is kind of cool. God has allowed their clothing to grow with them. That's kind of humorous in a way. Can you imagine little Junior in his little booties? Now he's 20 years old and he's still got them booties on. The clothing does not... God has made it to where the clothing is not worn out. These people are indestructible as long as they're following God. God has met their every single need. And God's request from them is this: just trust me and follow me. Just believe me and accept me. Just by faith, do what I tell you to do. Well, they're wandering around, and of course they've already rejected Canaan land. The 12 spies fouled up there, 10 of them fouled up, and so now they're wandering. And really what's happening, many of them are getting weeded out that did not have a heart of belief in them. But here they are once again, they're griping and complaining, and God plagues them with serpents, with snakes. How many of you cringe at the sight of a snake? The only time I cringe at the sight of a snake is when it shows up and I wasn't expecting it. I don't mind looking at snakes. I think they're kind of wild. It's cool looking at snakes. When I go to the zoo, I want to go check out the reptiles. That interests me. But I like it when they're behind the glass. Well, these snakes are everywhere. We're not talking little snakes. We're talking big snakes. They're vipers. These are deadly snakes. And these snakes, they don't just bite, but they sting and burn. They create pain when they bite. And they don't just create pain. They kill. They are lethal. You get bit by one of these snakes, it is fatal. And it had been up to this point. Now, besides the fear factor of looking at all these snakes, and no doubt, there's a million Israelites, and they all see the snakes. So I wonder how many snakes are there. Yeah, you can figure it out. Lots of snakes, okay. I picture an Indiana Jones clip where he falls into the pit of snakes. I picture something like that, okay. And so here they are, snakes everywhere. People are cringing. People are screaming. And people are falling dead. Well, they cry out for mercy. They say, Moses, we have sinned. They acknowledge their sin. And they say, you got to help us. And so Moses cries to God. And God gives Moses an unusual answer. God says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to make a brazen serpent, a brass serpent. I want you to put that brass serpent on a pole. I want you to put it up to where they can all see it. And tell the people that when they are bit, if they'll look at that brass serpent, this is a simple remedy. Certainly a remedy that took faith, because it's not logical. That's not logical. It's a simple remedy, but not a logical remedy. And God says, you just tell them to look at that brass serpent, and when they do, they will live. Well, those who believed and looked, lived. I'm sure others, after they acknowledged, whoa, he got bit, and he's still hanging in there. I better look too. Word spread. Jesus told us in John chapter 3, verse 14, He says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must I be lifted up. Amen. Jesus is telling us that was a picture of me. Somebody says, why would a brazen snake or a brass snake, how could that be a picture of Jesus? Twofold. When you read about brass in the Bible, often it refers to judgment. Judgment. When you read about brass, I'm just giving you some of the typology here. This is free. This wasn't in the notes. This wasn't even the direction I was going, but I want to give this to you. And the serpent, what's that refer to? The curse. Why would Jesus, brass serpent? Because Jesus on the cross was being judged for our curse. While He was on the cross, He took upon Him our curse. Our curse. He became sin. 2 Corinthians 5:21. This is what the Bible says about Jesus. He became sin for us. He who knew no sin. That we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Hallelujah! He was willing to be lifted up so that when we realized sin was going to sentence us to death, and that God has provided a remedy, and it's Jesus who has been lifted up, all we have to do is look, and we can live. That, my friend, is a remedy I can swallow. I'm glad He made it easy, aren't you? And there's many of us in this room that can identify or testify that it works. Because I experienced that life-giving power of the look. It is evident. I am living. I'm living better now than I ever have before. I have eternal life. I have security in my eternal home. What a blessing. And that is certainly the most powerful aspect of that text that we have read. But I want to redirect us to verse 7 because I believe most of the time when we gather together on Sunday morning, most of us have already trusted Christ as our Savior. I don't take it for granted that there's people in this room that haven't. But I want to give you something as a believer that will sustain you. Look at verse 7. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord." Now let's look at this very closely. "That he take away the serpents from us." Most of us pray that way. It's interesting that God didn't take away the serpents, did he? God provided a remedy, but he didn't take away the serpents. How often, even in my own life, my prayer is not for a remedy, but it's for a removal of the problem. The title will be, "Take Away the Serpents." That will be the title of our sermon. The subtitle would be, "When God Don't Take Away the Serpents." What do we do? When God don't take away the serpents, what do we do? You see, God doesn't always take away the serpents. Can you visualize Moses? He has made the brazen serpent, and he has erected it in the middle of the people of Israel so that they could all see and look. God's remedy there, but the snakes are still all over. Probably millions of them. People are still getting bit by snakes. They've already cried to God, "Help us! Have mercy on us! We've sinned!" And the snakes didn't go away. There's a remedy, but the serpents are still here. Often, we experience the bite of the serpent in many areas of our lives. Even after we've got saved, we've discovered that old serpent, he's still around, isn't he? I want to give you a few areas where the serpent is still around, and I think this is almost an exhaustive coverage. Number one, sometimes we discover the serpent bites in regards to our relationships. In regards to our relationships, a husband and wife are struggling in their marriage. One of them has lost interest in the things of God, and the other one doesn't know what to do. They're hollering, they're arguing, they can't get along. The one prays and says, God, change his heart. God, change her heart, whatever the case may be. God, work in their lives. And it doesn't seem like they're changing. It seems like the serpent remains in the household of that marriage. What a horrible thing. You're saved. You say, "I'm saved. I didn't expect this problem." And this problem isn't going away. The remedy hasn't changed. It's not changed. You say, "Well, I want the problem to go away." God says, "How about just looking at the remedy? How about just keep looking at the remedy and let me sustain you?" But God! No. We all make our own choices. And your choice is you can either look and continue to live though you may be bitten. Look and continue to live though it may sting. Look and continue to live though it seems fearful. Look and continue to live though it doesn't look like things are going to work out the way you want between you two. Look and continue to live. Or you can say, "Forget it, I'm not looking anymore," and you can be bit. and go farther and farther and farther down the rat hole. You won't get any better. Even in Christian families, even amongst Christian people, in our homes, in our marriages, the serpent sometimes bites us. What is the answer? It hasn't changed. Jesus, if I be lifted up, keep looking to Jesus. We'll touch on that a little bit more in detail. I'll explain what it means. At work, listen, most of us have had occasions at work where we've prayed, God, please remove this problem, this situation, this uneasiness. Sometimes the serpents just don't go away. God can, and God has before. He can. He can remove the serpents. He can remove the problem. He's done it before, but sometimes He doesn't. And we can say, well, why? Well, while we're worrying about why, let's make sure that when we're bitten, we're looking. Let's make sure when we feel the sting, we're still looking, or we're going to get ourselves in worse shape. Keep looking. That's exactly what the serpent in the garden has not changed his tactics. He wants you to turn from God. He'd love for you to blame your relationship problem on God. And when you start thinking like that, the venom has affected your brain. Yes, we have serpents in our relationships. And by the way, many have discovered, all have discovered that even when they have had serpents at work or at home, all who have remained steady, steadfast on Jesus have discovered He will sustain you. Everyone that has looked steadfastly at Jesus, though the venom, though they've been bit at work or at home, they've continued to look to Jesus, they've discovered He can sustain you. But on the same token, because they have, many have also experienced Jesus change the situation and remove the viper. The old snake will quit biting when he realizes it didn't do anything to you. Okay, we got to move on here. Well, let me share this. Some of you didn't know this. How many of you have heard of John Wesley? Well, about half of you. There's a church denomination called Methodist. He's responsible for. There's another one called the Wesleyans, who are kind of a branch off the Methodist. Matter of fact, there's a lot of denominations that stem from the work of John Wesley, who was a powerful gospel preacher, who was responsible for revival during the dark days of England. Some of you may not have been aware of this, but John Wesley's wife got very bitter and hard toward him midway through his ministry. She would criticize him. She would scowl at him while he was preaching to a crowd. I'm scratching my head thinking, I'm reading this stuff thinking, are you kidding me? John Wesley didn't have enough sense. He just kept looking to Jesus and people kept getting saved. Lives kept changing. His diaries are pretty extensive in the oppression that he dealt with because of that. But you know what sustained him? Steadfast looking at Jesus. I don't know about you, but if snakes were around my feet that were venomous, and I knew that all I had to do was look up there, and that thing is going to keep me alive, friend, I'd be like this all day long. I'd walk by Braille. But I might bump into things, but I'm not taking my eyes off the cross. there. We think of the situation at work. Listen, I know some situations are tough, but I want you to imagine yourself in front of a king playing a harp. And that king has just heard a song about you that has created great envy and jealousy in his heart to the point to where he has malicious thoughts toward you. And so here he is having a bad day and he's hired you to play the harp, but this time he don't like you. He's got this javelin, it's a spear, by his chair, by his throne. And you're just strumming away. You're looking at the king and he's got a bad attitude, man. Bring. He's not smiling. Bring. You're just doing your job. And the king says, whoa! That's a bad day at the office there. Put yourself in that position. I'm telling you, David just learned to keep his eyes on the Lord. See, I got family members who just absolutely criticize me, who are marring my reputation. They're lying about me. I mean, they don't like me at all. Yeah, I know a guy named Joseph who kind of had something like that. He had, let's see, 10 brothers who really thought about killing him. But they thought, you know, we can make profit, and sold him into slavery. I'm not saying this is easy. I'm not saying that the serpent won't keep biting. But I am saying the remedy always works. Here's an area. I said in regards to relationships. How about in regards to health and finances? Health and finances. You don't have to raise your hand, but this has probably hit most of you. You say, preacher, I've prayed that this thing would go away. It creates aches. It creates pains. Some of you wiser folks would say, yeah, that's called age. But no, I'm not making light of any type of illness, because the fact of the matter, we live long enough, we're going to experience these things. And some of you wake up, you've got horrible back problems. Some of you have horrible migraine problems. You have to have medicine to help you through it. And no doubt you've prayed, God, can you alleviate this? Please remove this. Man, it's just not going away. And you're wondering. And for some, I know, I realize, it affects your ability to even come to church as much as you'd like. But I want to encourage you and let you know, God knows. God knows. God's for you. And though that ailment is not going away and you're praying for it, let me tell you, the remedy is still the cross. You keep looking to Christ. Keep lifting up Christ. Keep lifting Him up. Keep looking and keep lifting Him up. You say, but I'm tired. I understand. But I'm glad the remedy was as simple as looking. But in another sense, there's a means for those of us that are Christians who have the Spirit of Christ in us to even do more than that. And we'll come to that in a moment. I'd like to remind you that there's a man named Paul whose eyes were so bad, he mentioned of the Galatian church, he said, you guys would have plucked your own eyes out for me when you saw my condition. He had to have scribes to write for him when he would get a message from God. And he would have men with weird names write the inspired Word of God. He said in Corinthians, he said, I've had this thorn in my flesh. Many believe it was his eye problem. It could have been many other things. We know he went through a lot. But Paul had physical ailments that did not go away. He said, I prayed 3 times that this thing would go away, and it didn't go away. God wouldn't remove, and by the way, it was Satan that buffeted him. God wouldn't remove the serpents or the bite of the serpents. But what's God going to do for Paul? He's going to say, keep looking to me, because my grace is sufficient for you. For in your weakness I'm made strong. So we see the serpents continue to bite in regards to our relationships. They'll continue to bite in regards to health or even finances. When I say finances, I realize some folks are living from week to week, paycheck to paycheck, and your prayer is that one day you could get ahead. That's your desire, but something keeps happening. And you're trying, you're coming to church, you're trying to do what's right, but you just can't get ahead. You can't even get out of the hole. You can't even get steady. You're just making it day by day. It sounds a lot like the children of Israel. You realize they were not allowed to lay up bread. Every morning they'd get up and God have the bakery, the heavenly bakery, working. They'd be up before Dunkin' Donuts. They'd have that manna all laid out there for all of them. And they were only allowed to take one day's worth, except for on the day before the Sabbath. They could take 2 days' worth. If they took more than one day's worth, it would just go bad. And so they had to live day by day. Well, I hope God gives us bread tomorrow like He did today. Well, I hope God gives us water tomorrow like He did today. Drinking water of a rock, that's kind of strange. Well, I sure would like to have some quail for lunch tomorrow. He brought it today. I hope He brings it again. Just living day by day. But as long as they kept looking to God, God kept taking care of their needs. And I realize as much as some of us want to get ahead, we want to get stabilized, and we want even prosperity. Sometimes those serpents of called taxes. Those serpents called utilities. No offense to the utility workers. God bless you. But those serpents called the bill collectors, the mortgage payments, they just keep coming and biting, don't they? You keep looking to Christ. In regards to our... It's going to get real practical if it hasn't been practical yet. We say, take away the serpents. And we still see them sometimes in relationships. We still see them sometimes in regards to health and finances. And here's why. How many of you have discovered that after you received Jesus Christ as your Savior, you still had a sin problem? About five of us have. God bless the rest of you. You discovered that, I still have a sinful nature. It hasn't gone away. I thought Jesus was going to rent just absolutely clean house here and just make me perfect. I want to use the Apostle Paul's testimony. You see, I think if Brother Paul could say this, we're in good company. And by the way, he said it in Romans chapter 7. And he speaks of his testimony after salvation. And I'll just give you verse 14. He says, this is what he says about himself. Oh, wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from the bondage of this sin? Talks about, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. He says that as a saved man, speaking about the body he's living in. What he's saying is, I'm saved, my soul's saved, my heart's been enlightened to the truth, but I still have the serpents of sin in my heart. And he bites me. In many areas, he bites me. When I'm not paying attention, he bites me. He'll bite me with envy sometimes. He'll bite me with jealousy. He'll bite me with anger and then bitterness. And then it'll turn to malice in my thinking toward others. He bites me. I'm a saved man who has experienced the unveiling love of Christ. And look at how awful my attitude is, and look how bad I am. What is wrong with me? The serpents are still biting. Yep, that's what you've discovered. They still bite. But the good news is the remedy hasn't changed. And when you feel the bite of the serpent that hasn't been taken away yet, just keep looking up. Let that unveiling love get a hold of you for a little bit. Keep staring until that grips you. Keep staring until that cleans the bitter, the envy, the jealousy, the rage, the pride, the vainglory out of your heart. Just keep looking till you feel complete cleansing. Sometimes the serpent of doubt rises. Oh yeah, even a believer. Believers doubt. Yeah, they do. We get skeptical sometimes. We question, God, why? Why'd you allow this to happen to so-and-so? Why'd you take this person? God, why is this allowed in my life? God, I'm trying to serve you. And what you've discovered is the serpents, as long as we're here in this flesh, until that trumpet sounds, we will be amongst the serpents. You say, you don't understand my tragedy. Job does. I don't. But I'm glad God gives us people who do. Finally, this is as far as my points. When I say finally, I'm only talking about the points. Might be a longer lap. I said, the serpents, we've discovered the serpents, they're still there in our relationships. We thought, wow, the honeymoon, this is awesome. And it was so easy to love each other with infatuation. And after about a year, we start discovering that you got stinky feet and you look weird without makeup. And wow, you got some weird habits about the toothpaste and the dishes and what's going on here. I didn't expect it. You didn't tell me about this. And all of a sudden, the serpents start rising. All this we discover. I said we discover the serpents are still in our relationships. They're still in our health and our finances. They're still in our sinful nature here, because as long as I'm in this old body, it produces them. It's prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. And then we discover, as long as we're in this world, the Bible calls it this present evil world. I really don't think it would take much for any of us to flip through the news and agree, yes, it is a present evil world we live in. We are being pressured to accept sodomy. That's men with men working that which is unseemly. Women with women. It's not natural. We're being forced to accept these things. We're being forced to accept that if a woman doesn't want to keep her baby, she has the right to murder her baby. And they're trying to make us accept the fact that she has that decision she can make even after the baby has been birthed. They want to pass it. By the way, there are countries where they've passed that law. You got like so many days after the birth of the baby to abort the baby. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's in the world today. We're in a present evil world filled with serpents all around us, and it's kind of creepy. It's flat out creepy. I mean, it is flat out creepy, fearful. We get bit. We get stung. If we don't watch it, it'll kill us spiritually in our testimony for Christ. How do I endure? How do I enjoy life? How do I live in this place? I just keep looking at the remedy. Yes, indeed. It's interesting here as I look at the text back in Numbers 21. Faith was certainly required. Who would have thunk a brazen serpent on a pole would be the antidote for a snake bite? Nobody but God. And God in His foreknowledge was pointing us to Jesus Christ. It took faith. It still takes faith. God's ways are not our ways. They're higher. That's why we can't lean onto our own understanding all the time, but we must trust in the Lord with all our heart. I'd like you to look at verse 8. Let's look at Moses here. In verse 8, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Make." You see that word, make? "Thee a fiery serpent." You all see that? That implies work. Huh? That's what it implies. Moses, you're going to have to make this. Let me just tell you something. I thank God that eternal salvation is as simple as a look. But if we are going to overcome evil with good, according to Romans 12:21, we're going to have to take the grace that God has given us and exercise it in our situations when we are snake bit. We're going to have to put the grace that God has given us, by the way, when we didn't deserve it, the mercy that God has given us, when we didn't deserve it and we still don't, the love that God has shown us and the patience that God has shown us and the long-suffering that God has shown us, and we're going to have to use that to show patience toward those who are we feel are being bitten by, to show mercy toward those we feel we're being bitten by, to show forgiveness toward those we feel we're being bitten by. Y'all with me now? I can't handle it! But if I look to Jesus and remember what He did for me, then I take what He did for me and place it here in my snake-bit world. The mercy, the love. Oh, don't miss this. The virtue. I'm talking about our good moral behavior. If I take that, what Jesus has given me, and have integrity, initiative, and kindness, and mercy, and patience with these people around me, whether it's my spouse, whether it's a fellow employee or employer, whether it's a family member or an old friend that I'm at odds with, if I take those things and just say, "Here we go. I'm going to forgive you. I'm going to let you know I love you. I'm going to overcome evil with good." I can't do it in my strength, but when I look to Christ, I can do it through His. I can become a funnel. I can become His distribution center of His graces. Oh, He's cleaning me out. It very well could be He's allowed these things in my life to help me evaluate my own wretchedness again. To remember, yes, don't forget, you have a depraved heart too. To remember, yes, you know how you feel? That's just a reminder that you've not been perfected yet. And so until then, look to me for mercy for you, and look to me so you can show mercy, forgiveness, kindness, patience, love toward others. Don't compromise the truth, or you stymie everything. You got to continue to stand for the truth. Yes, you do. You got to speak the truth in love. You got to stand for the truth. You can't make other people accept what you have, but at least you can show them the grace that Jesus Christ showed you. We got a few moments. I want you to bear with me. Elisha was meeting with his preacher boys, and he said, "We're going to have a pitch-in, fellas," in 2 Kings chapter 4. And so all the guys went together and got some vegetables to put in the stew, and one guy got some found some wild gourds, and he diced them up and put them in the stew. They looked like they were good. Well, the preacher boys got their bowls out, had prayer, and ready to take a bowl of this pitch-in stew. Before anybody had digested it, one of them hollered out, "There's poison in the pot!" Their term actually was, "There's death in the pot!" That was what they said. "Oh man of God, there's death in the pot!" They were fearful. Here's what I would do if that was at my house and my kid had just said, "Dad, this will make you sick." I'd have dumped it. My solution would have been, "Well, get rid of the stuff. Dump it." You know what God's solution was? Through the man of God. The man of God says, "Go get some ground meal, which is just, it's wheat that has been ground. Is that which they prepare for bread?" He said, "Add that to the pot." So they added that to the pot, and lo and behold, it was good. And they ate out of that stew that a moment ago had death in it. Now it's good, it's edible, it's tasty. They ate from it. That meal is a picture of Jesus being ground for us. We need to add Jesus, ladies and gentlemen. God isn't always going to remove your serpents and my serpents. I hate serpents. But they're going to be there until we meet Jesus. We're going to have to deal with serpents. But I am so glad we've got the one who's crushed the serpent's head. And we're on his side. Hey, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, why don't you just pray and ask God to kill the king? Maybe they did. Hey, boys, why don't you just pray and ask God to put the fire out? Maybe they did. By the way, could God have killed the king? Could God have put the fire out? Sure, He could have. But God didn't kill the king, nor did He put the fire out. He said, "Fellas, you're going to jump in the fire. But I'm going to be with you. I'm going to be with you because you've been looking to me the whole time. You've turned your eyes upon Jesus. You've looked full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth grown strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace." Yes, indeed. Here's my question to you as we close. What are you going to do if God doesn't remove your serpents? Sometimes He does. What a blessing. Sometimes He doesn't. By the way, God can do whatever He wants. I'm not here to bicker with God. I'm just here to find out what He wants me to say and do it. If He feels I need those serpents around me, maybe I need them around me. All I know is if I know serpents around me, it's going to make me a little more conscious of God's remedy. I don't know what you're going through tonight or this morning or what you've went through this week. But I am sure many of you have had experiences even this week where you'd say, "I wish the serpents would go away." Well, now we know God still has an answer, and He just doesn't always do that. Why don't we pray together? Father, I pray that You'd work in our hearts. I pray, Jesus, You'd take this message and help people with it. I ask that the Holy Spirit, Lord, would help us to remember that unveiling love. What a beautiful song. It was well done. And the words to that song Oh, how they need to affect our heart. We did not deserve your mercy or your grace. We still don't. We're so thankful for it. Lord, help us. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, nobody looks.